A last-minute bid by Borders Group, Inc. to sell 30 of its bookstores and assets to Books A Million has failed. Borders Books, the nation's second-largest bookseller, now faces the liquidation of its nearly 400 stores nationwide. Internationally, Borders operates more than 500 stores. The giant retailer announced Title 11 bankruptcy in February of this year. The fall of Borders raises questions about the future of print books and the physical stores that sell them. The growing popularity of digital books and the expansion of online retailers like Amazon.com has made print and digital books almost instantly available to consumers through a few clicks online. What does this mean for independent booksellers? On the one hand, the imminent absence of a Borders store in a city can drive more business to existing independent bookstores. But on the other hand, publishers, who are owed millions of dollars by the bankrupt chain, are likely to pressure indie bookstores to pay up their bills faster. Additionally, the same factors that potentially led to Borders closing can impact independent booksellers. Here in Southern California, independent bookstores are a near-extinct breed, with beloved institutions like Midnight Special Books in Santa Monica having closed their shutters one after another over the past several years. One indie bookstore that has managed to survive for more than 100 years is Roman's Books in Pasadena. Allison Keyes is the assistant promotional director at Roman's Bookstore. She joins me on the phone now. Welcome to Uprising, Allison.
Good morning.
And also with us on the phone is Andy Lates. He is the author of Rebel Bookseller, How to Improvise Your Own Indie Store and Beat Back the Chains. He wrote the book about 6 years ago. It's just out now in its second edition with a much longer subtitle. Welcome to Uprising, Andy.
Thank you so much, Sonali.
So first, Allison, let me ask you, how do you explain why Borders has closed down? Why was this mega chain not able to survive?
Well, I think it's no secret that, you know, Borders expanded rapidly and opened several stores too quickly. A lot of articles that I've read about the subject discuss, you know, that they had long-term leases and those became difficult to maintain once the DVD and music industries took a hit. Also, you know, they didn't really, they lacked the ability to try and act quickly on making profit off of their internet sales and e-books. They came in late to that market.
Well, since Romans has been around for so long, your bookstore has the history that enables us to ask the question, what did the advent of mega chains like Borders and Barnes & Nobles and online sellers like Amazon.com, how did it change Roman's ability to sell books?
You know, definitely more competition and, you know, more people taking a cut of the market, really. Borders, you know, was definitely our main competition along with Barnes & Noble in the beginning, but definitely as the years have gone on, we've all kind of appeared to stand side by side against Amazon. So,
well, Andy, ladies, in one of the pieces that you've written about this story, I was shocked by the statistic that 2/3 of indie bookstores in the United States closed down during the 1990s. A portion of the third that survived have remained fairly strong, or they've simply, you know, been replaced by newer ones. Did these bookstores, 2/3 of these bookstores, did they close down because of big chains like Borders?
Well, you have to keep in mind that the independent bookselling channel is extremely flexible, so that we've seen over the last 50 years, we've seen the number of independent booksellers as high as 10,000 and as low as 1,500. And right now it's near its low. It's about 1,500, and it's been there for about 10 years. But in the 1980s, we saw a huge growth in independent bookselling because of weakness in the chains of that era. B. Dalton and Walden Books were quite weak, and that permitted independent bookselling to expand. The growth of the chains in the 1990s was essentially the turnover of the chain bookstores from the 80s into new chain bookstores of the 90s. And so independent bookstores dropped, but it is my feeling that when the chains decline in strength, that gives an opportunity for the independent channel to increase in strength. And this means more individuals stepping forward and saying, I think I'd like to try to open an independent bookstore. It's not so much about stores like Romans that have been fighting the fight for 100 years. It's about people who are either their authors, their librarians, their teachers, their lawyers. They're people who've always sort of dreamed in the back of their mind that maybe they should open an independent bookstore. This is an opportunity right now for those people to join with some of the experienced managers who are being laid off at Borders to come forward and say, let's try an independent bookstore in this community that pays very close attention, as Romans has been doing for 100 years. Let's try to do that ourselves right now. This is a great moment for them.
And I want to you to expand on that in just a moment. But Allison, how has Romans kept up with retailers like Amazon.com and also with the advent of digital e-books? I mean, yours is a store that is a physical location where people come in to browse physical books and walk out with them in hand. How have you managed to survive Kindles and Amazon.coms?
Well, our store is really more than just the products on the shelves. You know, we've been around for 116 years now, and we're part of a loyal community where generations have grown up coming to our store. You know, they grew up coming to our story time as children and then have brought their children. You know, we're part of a family tradition. You know, we have weekly story times. We have an extensive children's section, and we host over 400 events a year. So we really try to service the family and the community. With e-books, you know, that definitely has changed the market a bit. But we hope that, you know, what we provide to the community and to our customers, that they recognize that the value in browsing a bookstore and having a new book put in their hands and getting a new book that they may have never even realized that they would be interested in, that there is a world of books beyond their browsing history and related items they're shopping online.
Andy, ladies, your book is called Rebel Bookseller, Why Indie Businesses Represent Everything You Want to Fight For, from Free Speech to Buying Local to Building Communities. So if you're saying that now is a really good time for people who've always wanted to open an independent bookstore to do so, to join with some of those laid off Borders managers, etc., what are some of the ways in which they can avoid past mistakes, either the mistakes of Borders or even the pitfalls that independent bookstores have faced in the past?
Well, an important mistake that Borders made was that they signed very, very long leases, for instance. And some of those leases were signed at what now look to be premium prices. But this is a moment when the price of and the value of real estate has been dropping, and there are empty storefronts all over this country, in some cases in shopping districts that are quite viable. Landlords are interested in cutting deals right now. And bookstores are understood to be the kind of business that will draw traffic and increase the value of surrounding properties. So the number one thing that someone who wants to open an independent bookstore should do right now is to try to find out what exactly the real estate situation is in terms of empty storefronts in your community. Find out who the property owners are, who the property managers are, and see if you can cut a really good deal on a storefront. Maybe get it for free for 6 months or for a year, just to help to reinvigorate the local community. That's the first thing that you should do, is pay very close attention to the advantageous real estate moment.
As an aside, Borders is going to be leaving behind these gigantic box stores, too big perhaps for independent bookstores to try to fill. But, you know, this is the sort of part of the Walmartization of America, where gigantic retailers create these, massive box stores, leave behind a lot of independent institutions in the dust. And then when they shut down, they just leave these empty buildings behind.
In many cases, it was communities that gave tax incentives to those very companies to come in. Mm-hmm. In some cases, Borders was given millions of dollars in tax incentives and special allowances by communities that thought they were getting something that was permanent. We fought against this in the 1990s. I remember testifying in front of the Oak Park City Council in the mid-90s about this terrible mistake that these city councils made. And in many cases, these people, having been burned, are going to be wiser going forward into the future. And I think that they're going to really work together with aspiring entrepreneurs to put independent bookstores back into those communities. I think that some people have learned their lesson.
Allison Keyes, you're the Assistant Promotional Director at Romans Bookstore. And Romans has not just managed to survive 116 years, but also expanded. You have a second location. Do you think that the closure of Borders is going to be good for Romans? Or do you take the opinion that, well, if Borders can't survive, it might be even tougher for stores like Romans?
Well, I think, you know, it's always sad to see bookstores close in communities and see people lose their jobs. But, we do hope to be able to become a new home for the displaced readers that leaves and maybe see a bit of increase in our sales. We did have Borders bookstores that were very close to each of our stores. And, it definitely did hurt. And we hope to be able to try and you know, help those readers and show them, you know, what Vroman's has to offer.
And tell our listeners briefly the kinds of things that an independent bookstore like Vroman's has to offer, because one imagines that Borders and Barnes & Noble's and these large bookstores are the only bookstores that offer, you know, the cafe connected to the bookstore, a plush environment to hang out in and read books with your friends, a large book selection. Does Vroman's offer those same kinds of things?
Yeah, we also have a cafe. We have a large book selection. We also have a lot of gifts and a large greeting card selection as well. In addition to all of our events that we do weekly story time.
And you have author events too.
Yeah, we have author events frequently, almost every night in the store. You know, we do local community events such as in-store book fairs and fundraisers, and do community events with, you know, recently we did something with the Arroyo Food Co-op. So we try and be a part of the community and be a venue for their events as well.
So listeners who might miss their Borders store because that was the only option they had can certainly check out if they're in the area in Vroman's, near Vroman's in Pasadena, where Vroman's is located, can try to get a similar experience. Andy, ladies, what about this issue that Borders, because it owed millions of dollars to publishers, right, because bookstores have accounts with publishers and aren't always up to date, because it owed millions to publishers and is defaulting, is basically declaring bankruptcy, that now these publishers may turn around and try to call in all of the debts from independent bookstores to make up their losses, and that this hole that Borders is leaving behind may really financially impact existing bookstores?
Well, I think that for many, many years, the publishers have been utilizing their relationships with independent booksellers as a way to finance the troubles that they had managing their relationships with the chains.
So that was already an existing problem.
What's that?
It was already an existing problem, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. It was already an existing problem. Back in the early 90s, the American Booksellers Association actually sued five major publishers because of the way that they were giving away money to the chains in advertising allowances, for instance, that were not equally and proportionally available to independent booksellers. So independent booksellers have been trying to control the behavior of the publishers, of the large publishers, for many years, and without much success. It's unquestionably true that the publishers, the large publishers, sometimes try to tighten the leash on independent bookstores, and they are generally more successful at tightening the leash on independents than they are on Borders. What's happening with Borders walking away from tens of millions of dollars of debt is an example of the publishers failing to keep Borders on a tight enough leash in the last 5 years when they were in significant trouble. The publishers would not be taking this loss if they had tried to hold Borders more accountable in the last 5 years. So, yes, you're right. Instead, it's going to be independent booksellers who are getting tighter credit, are having more difficulty obtaining books, and you know, some of them that are on the edge are going to have to figure out additional and different strategies. For instance, many independent booksellers now are turning to consignment systems. I was signing at a bookstore just the other day that has a huge collection of zines, which are self-published art magazines, and those are generally sold on consignment. And additionally, I was at an event 2 days ago with St. Mark's Bookstore in New York, which has always had a large collection of consignment books that are self-published by artists on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. So there are opportunities to stock very good books on a consignment basis with self-published or small presses. And these are the kinds of things that independent bookstores can do to try to alleviate the problems when the big publishers essentially cut their own throats by causing trouble for the independent bookstores unfairly, troubles that were caused by the publisher's own failure to properly manage the chains in the past.
Andy, ladies, give out a website very briefly for your book.
www.rebelbookseller.com.
That's rebelbookseller.com, and I'm sure the copies of the books are likely to be available at bookstores like Vroman's. If not, you can probably order them through Vroman's. Allison Keys, give out the address for Vroman's and a website as well.
We're at 695 East Colorado Boulevard in Pasadena, California, and our website is www.vromansbookstore.com.
And we'll link to those from our website later today. I want to thank the two of you, Allison and Andy, very much for joining us today.
Thank you
so much.
This is Uprising. And for Sonali's subversive thought for the day, Henry Ford once said, "If money is your hope for independence, you will never have it. The only real security that a man will have in this world is a reserve of knowledge, experience, and ability." That's Henry Ford. That's Sonali's subversive thought for the day.